If you were to look very carefully around our home, you would probably find a few unfinished things. As I say that, I expect my wife is reeling off in her mind, or even audibly, some of the things she knows that are unfinished. I could take you to spots in the house where there's a little bit of wallpaper that's missing, where perhaps a second coat of paint would have been beneficial, but it's kind of got left. But nothing turns on those things. It's not that important. But there are things that matter. It's important, generally speaking, that things we start are finished. And the scripture indicates to us that everything that God starts, he finishes. There's nothing missing at the end. God's predeterminate counsels will come to pass. Nothing can prevent God finishing what he starts. And things do turn on that. Every important issue in scripture is said to be finished or will be finished. Now you might say, well, that's interesting, but it's a small thing to note. Well, I hope you'll see by the time we get to the end of our little message this evening that there are important issues that hang on the fact that God finishes the things that he starts. So for this evening then, for a few moments, we're looking at the finished things of God and why that is important. And first of all, and it's a very obvious one, and that is creation. Say it may sound obvious, but when you think of its implications, it becomes quite enormous. Scripture tells us that God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And the scripture says that God himself was satisfied with what he had done. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he'd made, and behold, it was very good. I like the way that the Holy Spirit puts that word very in there. It wasn't just good, but God himself saw that it was very good. But he says more than that. If you turn to chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished." We've got the word there in scripture. They were finished, and all the host of them. That when you look up into the sky and you see the myriad stars, when you look at the television and see the various satellites and things that have gone into space, take us further than we can see with the natural eye, all of that, God said, finished. He dealt with it. He created it. Now we know that because Adam and Eve sinned, their nature changed. We know also some of the consequences of their sin that did affect nature. And so we read in Genesis 3 and verse 17. "And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." And all of that change, of course, came after God had created. And although nature was changed in the sense that it was tainted with sin and the thistles came up and the briars came up, and in the words of Romans, creation groans. And so we see earthquakes and we see volcanoes and all the various things that we experience. But having said all of that, nothing has been added to creation because God had finished it. And he was pleased with it. And a consequence of the fact that the scripture says creation is finished, the great implication there is that because creation is finished, there is no evolution. Because if evolution is true, then God didn't finish creation. He just started things off, as it were. And there are people who profess faith who say, well, yeah, that's what God did. He started things off, and then things evolved from there. Now, the scripture contradicts that. The scripture not only gives us days of creation, it actually states very clearly that it was finished. It was complete. So that may be a short point and a simple point, But it adds to the strength of our faith when it comes to evolution, because the scripture says many things that support creation, but that is one of them, that God himself said, I finished creation. And we see if you pull the rug on creation, then you pull the rug on the fall and on sin, on the need for righteousness, the need of a saviour. And really, if you pull creation, then you pull the rest of scripture. And that's why the enemy that we've been talking about on Sunday mornings likes to attack creation. Because if you can get people not to believe that, then really they're not going to believe the Bible as it is. But secondly, again, it may be an obvious point, but the implications are enormous, and that is salvation. And we see this in a number of ways, and I've just pulled out two. We see, first of all, that salvation purchased has been finished. We know that God planned salvation even before creation. A little verse tucked away in Hebrews 4 says that the works in respect of salvation, that is, were finished before the foundation of the world. We know, of course, that Christ's life as well as his death were all part of his redeeming work for his people. And everything he did from his birth to the cross was in his people's place. And the Lord said in John 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. So we have references in the Bible to the fact that salvation in the mind of God was finished before the foundation of the world. And we have references in scripture from Christ himself who says he came in order to finish the work, to fulfill that which had been predetermined before the foundation of the world. And when we come to our reading in John chapter 17, which is a very precious chapter, we have to be careful not to make one chapter more precious than another. The various chapters in scripture are precious for different reasons. And John 17 is very precious because it enables us to eavesdrop on a prayer, a conversation that God the Son is having with God the Father. Now, we have glimpses of that in different places in scripture, but that's a great passage, a large passage of where Christ is talking to his Father. And he's talking to his Father in many places there about us. So we have a great interest in that particular passage. And Jesus says there to his Father, I have finished the work. So the work was said to be finished before the foundation of the world. Jesus said, I've come to finish the work. And we get to John 17, he says, I've finished the work. In other words, it's counted as complete. Although the cross was yet to come, it was just around the corner, as it were, it was something that was going to be endured. It was something that had to happen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, didn't he? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And actually, when Jesus prayed that, he knew that it wasn't possible because he knew that he had come to finish the work. And in order to finish the work, he had to endure the cross. And it was, of course, the will of the Father that Christ should die, because that was completing the work of salvation, purchasing our salvation. And you'll recall when Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. Salvation has been purchased. The work has been done. The requirements of the Godhead as a sacrifice for sinners. He bore their sin. He was bearing the wrath of his Father as a penalty for our sin. And it had been dealt with. It's interesting that the actual Greek word that Jesus spoke was not, in fact, it is finished, three words. It was just one word. And the nearest we can get to that literal translation would be accomplished. And that was the last word that the Lord Jesus said as he bowed his head, the scripture says, and he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life. He said, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up. And just before he laid it down, that was the word he said. Accomplished. Accomplished. That's a wonderful statement. It was finished. What was finished? His suffering was finished. His full obedience to the law of God was finished. He had kept absolutely every aspect of the law of God in our place because we couldn't keep it. The complete work of atonement was completed. It was finished on the cross of Calvary. We sang in the hymn, "My sin not in part but the whole is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Complete. Not in part but the whole. And of course, linking in with what we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, Christ's saving work was finished in the sense he had destroyed the works of the devil. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. We read there, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Finished, accomplished, complete, the purchase of salvation, putting away the devil and his works. Just waiting for that final destruction and putting away of the devil that we read of in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them," that was the deceiving that had gone on in the time of tribulation, "the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." That's the, if you like, the unholy trinity of the tribulation. "And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And the devil knows that. He has a greater awareness and knowledge of theology than you and I do. And that's one reason why he is so rampant and will even be more so. So every aspect of the gospel, every reason why Christ came and what he came to do has been finished in the eternal mind of God and has been factually finished. And one of the implications of that, and there are many, but one of the implications is that we have to realise that sadly, a recent fad among some who profess faith is to say, well, can we really be sure of those things? And today even the extent of the atonement is questioned. When we look at what Christ did, our hearts are warmed and we're so grateful for what has happened that we are completely saved. And there are those that question the extent of the atonement. My friends, when you hear such things, go back to Scripture, cling to the Word of God, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is finished. We have the sure word that has been once and for all delivered to us. Nothing can be added to that. Nothing can be taken away from it. There's no need to. It's finished. And not only is it finished, it is a perfect salvation, a perfect purchase of salvation for his people. But not only is the work of salvation finished, salvation received is finished. By that I don't mean everyone who will be saved has been saved, although in the mind of God they have. But rather I'm referring to the fact that when we were brought to salvation, that work is finished in us so far as the Lord is concerned. We know that we've been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. We've been spiritually brought from death, as Paul writes in Ephesians. We were dead in trespass and sin. We've been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know that when something or someone is dead, then all their senses have gone. But we've been made alive. And we have what one might call it a perfect life in Jesus Christ. And all the senses that we know naturally are matched spiritually. So, for example, now we are alive in Christ, and he sees us, as I mentioned this morning, through the precious blood of Jesus. We may feel the presence of God. It's one of the senses that we have from time to time. Would that we felt his presence more. We may know the hearing of his voice in his word. That's how we learn our sin is forgiven. That's how we learn how we should be walking with him. We can now see ourselves as God sees us. And we can see something of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as we look into the pages of Scripture. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. And we can now pray and bring before the Lord some of that sweet savour or smell. These things we know here and now. And in one sense, our receipt of salvation we know isn't complete. Again, we touched on that this morning. Romans 8, we read there concerning these things in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. The point is, we have the promise of this completion. We have the promise of the finishing of the receiving of our salvation. Philippians 1, being confident of this one thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, or the word there can be, will finish it unto the day of Christ. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. Elsewhere we're told that his people are complete in him. And my friend, the time will come when we shall know this fullness. Again, we touched on this morning, but I'm not sure I quoted the passage that we've read in John 17. We read there in verse 20. Jesus said, I neither pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And then verse 24. I pray that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. The Lord is praying. We have such a strength for these things. We have the word of God. We have the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. We have the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We even have his own prayer that those that have been saved, those that have been given to him, will be with him where he is, and that we may behold his glory. That is the glory of the Saviour, who is the author and what? And finisher of our faith. Wherever we look, we can see in Scripture that our salvation is finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, creation is finished and salvation is finished. Thirdly, we see the finished work of believers. That is, we're to be finishers. Two things here. First of all, we're to be finishers in all that the Lord gives us. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10, Paul writes, here I give you my advice, that this is expedient for you, which have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He wanted them to go on and complete what they'd started. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Wherever the Lord sets before us a task, we should be finishers of that task. We read in the book that Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, he says there, I have finished my course. I wonder if some of us won't be able to say that. We kind of opted out halfway through or whatever. You know, some well-meaning people don't seem to be able to stick to a God-given task. There are those who flip from one particular society or church or mission to another. I sometimes think it's wise to be as what they used to call a plodder, to keep going even when others might give up. When things get difficult, it doesn't mean we opt out, but we continue in the strength of the Lord. Paul told the folk at Corinth, he said there, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain. We're to be finishers of what God gives us. We're also to be finishers in who we are, not just what we do. John 17 again, this is the will of the Lord, even your sanctification. The Lord wants us to be a holy people. That's a progressive work. And he wants us to go on in that holiness day by day. Jesus said in Matthew that we should be perfect. What he means there is that we should be complete, we should be mature, we should be going on with him. And James writes in a similar vein where he talks about being perfect again, being complete or mature. We're not going to be perfect in the sense of sinless. John writes that very clearly in his epistle. But we are to press toward the mark. But also here, thinking of believers and our finishing work, we are finished or complete in our standing before God. We are complete in him. As I said a few moments ago, the Father sees us in the precious or through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees us as a people fully cleansed. He He sees us as a people that are, as the scripture says, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not physically there. And sometimes we don't always feel that. But that's our standing. That's our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30. It says there, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. You notice all of that is in the past tense. Even the glorification. We don't sound very glorified, we're not glorified, but the Holy Spirit had that written in that sense, that as far as he is concerned, we're counted as glorified already. And that's a wonderful thing. Let me give you one more finishing thing here. And that is the final consummation. All that the Lord purposed has a finality. It will finish. The Lord prayed so in John 17 verse 24. I've just read the verse, that we should be with him and that we should behold his glory. And when he was talking to the disciples before he went to the cross, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And, you know, the plans of God before the foundation of the world, before creation, we can go all the way through these things. You've got the planning in eternity past, the actual creation, all the Old Testament types and shadows, the words of the prophets, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect life, his teaching, his death, his shed blood, his resurrection, his ascension, his heavenly intercessory work, his giving us of the scriptures, his return again, his judgment, the creation of a new heavens and earth. All of those things are for one reason, and that is the final consummation of all things in the glory of God. And Paul refers to this in Ephesians 2. He says that in the ages to come, Christ might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And in verse 11 of that chapter, he says, as the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That in the ages to come, all of these things will be brought together and will show the glory of our great Saviour. You know, in end times, people will at some point have to acknowledge that it is the Lord that is pouring judgment upon the earth. We might just have a little taste at the moment. We perhaps would not be dogmatic on whether this is an actual judgment of God. It's certainly not a blessing. We have to leave that. But there will come a time when things will be so bad that people will acknowledge that this is the Lord's doing. If you read the middle chapters of the book of Revelation, we have a graphic picture of those days that really make the current virus look very tame. But there's an interesting verse in Revelation chapter 10 where we read that there will be time no more. That's the doing away with time. That was a part of creation. And it says in the same verse that time should be no more, and the mystery, or the same word there, revelation of God, should be finished. And I think that's I don't remember reading that verse before, but I read it in preparation for this sermon, that there's going to come a point when time will be done away with, and all of humanity will all of a sudden have a revelation of who God is. His revelation will be finished. That will be it. He's already revealed himself in scripture. He revealed himself through the prophets. He's revealed himself through his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself through the word of God. But not everyone sees that full revelation. But there's going to come a time when the veil is going to be lifted and everyone will have that revelation. It will be the final revelation. The revelation of God, it says, should be finished. And for those who refuse the offer of salvation, those who do not seek the Lord, the final consummation is judgment and off to eternal damnation. That's clearly what the scripture says. Revelations 20, people will be judged out of those things which are written in the books, those things recorded according to their works. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And to those who found refuge in Jesus Christ, those who have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, then there is an eternity of glory. We read in Revelation chapter 21. We could read a lot of verses there, but I'll break in at verse 3. John says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In God's judgment and in his saving work, both show forth his glory, the very purpose of why everything was brought into being. So then, what have we seen then so far this evening? The finished work of God in creation, the finished work of salvation, both purchased and received, the finished work in the believer, we must be finishers, and the finished work of all things, the final consummation of all things, God's revelation finished. Indeed, everything that God does is for his glory, and nothing is left undone. A little verse tucked away in Ecclesiastes sums it up to a good degree. The writer says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it that men should fear before him. The sad thing is that people, generally speaking, don't fear before him. A little bit of application then. We can make brief but important application under the four headings that we've really had. As I said at the beginning, things turn on these issues and things that relate to our eternity. So the finished work of creation means, as I said, that evolution is one of the biggest lies this world has ever known. And whilst it's right for us to argue the case for creation, and we're grateful for organisations such as Creation Ministries for the work that they do that, we have to acknowledge that creation is not just a scientific thing, although it is that, but it's a matter of faith. We read the scriptures, we believe what God says, and we will find indeed that science will match up to those things. As I said, if creation is not finished, if we don't accept that biblical fact, the word of God, when he said it's finished, then we begin to look at what evolution means. And that is an awful thing. But then we think of the finished work of salvation. What does that? That means we can rest in Jesus Christ. Rest from our works of salvation, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It means that we can know an assurance of our faith. For he has not brought about salvation to leave it hanging in the air. It's a finished work. When Christ died on the cross, he covered all of our sin. And we thank God for it. It's a finished work. And the finished work in the believer means that I too must be a finisher of the work that the Lord gives us to do until the work is done, until he calls us home, until he comes in glory. And the finished work of all things, that final consummation, means I need to be ready for that time. I need to be doing what the Lord wants me to do. I need to be living under the authority of his word. Does that not encourage us for the future? That whatever happens to us here on earth, we have a glorious eternity that waits for us. For some of us, we could say we'll be young again. We'll have hair where some of the hair has departed. We will not need our glasses or our hearing aids and the tablets and things that we take. There'll be no more sorrow and no more death. It's a glorious thing that we have to look forward to. But my friends, there is that challenge, isn't there, as to whether we're all ready for that day. Whether we know that salvation that I've been talking about. The work is finished as far as the Lord is concerned. But have you come to take that work? Can you not say, well, yes, I can see the work is finished and it was done for me. And the scripture says, doesn't it? We come in repentance and faith. Ask the Lord, seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah says there, when you speak in the Lord's words there, when you seek me with all your heart, then he will be found. And that's the key, isn't it? To seek him with all our hearts. Well, then when we shall see him in all his glory, we'll see the one who died for us. We'll see those that have gone on before. And then we'll fully know what Christ meant when he said on the cross, "It is finished." May the Lord so help us and encourage us for his name's sake.